facts.
Hard facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria.
All right, and welcome. It's 3:09 Nigerian time. Of course, you know, once it's 3 p.m., it's time for the roundtable on Hard Facts. And today happens to be Thursday. Some people regard Thursday as a throwback day. I don't know if you've checked any of your throwback pictures to appreciate where you're coming from, where you are, and of course, where you hope to be. And I must really appreciate and thank you very much for staying with us for Morning Crossfire with Dr. Femi D. Live. And I move away from that to what's happening in Abuja with the mayor of the FCT. And they just concluded Sunnyside with Her Vocal Majesty Swat. And here you are on Hard Fact this wonderful time with my humble self and Kim the Oracle, who steps in the studio as soon as she rounds up some level of paperwork. And of course, I'm not also flying solo. We have a guest with us, and together we'll be having a conversation on the three major stories on the roundtable this beautiful Thursday afternoon. What has your day been like? A lot of conversation, lot of stories. I mean, one of which is the Electoral Amendment Bill, which is also generating some form of conversation. But at this point, I'd like to let our guest in this afternoon. I've got George Daniel with me this afternoon, and together we'll be having this conversation. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, my friend.
It's good to have you.
Thank you.
You also have that weekend look already. Looks like you are ready.
Actually, I was coming here because I forgot. Okay. So I was just called you to go and play chess. So as I got out, Kim called me. I said, okay, let me just
call you. Okay, that's fine.
I had to look official a little bit, you know. You don't know who you are meeting here.
No, but it's fine. It's fine. We are good to go. Let's start by looking at the amendment. Looking at the president saying we should amend the Section 84 of the Electoral Act, and it looks like that didn't also go through. And a lot of conversation generated around this particular story. A lot of people and some form of pointing hands to say, you know what? I mean, we don't want some particular political appointees to vote in any convention, but that didn't really see the light of the day. The Attorney General of the Federation, Abubakar Malami, the Minister of Transportation, Rotimi Amaechi, Minister for Labor and Employment, Dr. Chris Ngige, and other political appointee, believed to be interested in the elective offices, will not be able to participate in all progressive Congress primary expected to begin in May unless they resign from their position. However, elected officers, including governor, deputy governors, the vice president, members of the National Assembly, and some state legislators will be allowed to contest and participate in the primary. Muhammadu Buhari, while signing the bill into law last month, called on the National Assembly to amend Section 84 of the Electoral Act, which bars political appointees from voting at any convention, Congress, or primaries of any political party. He subsequently sent a bill to the National Assembly to that effect. Section 84, subsection 10 of the Act specifically reads, no political appointee at any level shall be a voting delegate or be voted for at the convention or congress of any political party for the purpose of nomination of candidate for any election. It further stated that where a political party fails to comply with the provisions of this act in the conduct of its primaries, its candidates for election shall not be included in the election for the particular position in this issue. Buhari has also asked that the National Assembly to amend that and arguing that it was a variant with the Constitution. But the Senate on Wednesday unanimously rejected the president's amendment proposal. The executive bill failed to pass when the president of the Senate put the motion for its adoption for second reading to the voice vote. And of course, you know, it's either a nay or a I mean the or the eyes, the which eyes one? But then again, some people will say the Senate, the eyes always have it, but it doesn't look like this time around. It looks like the eyes did not have it this time. It looks like the Nay took it home. And after the majority leader, Abdullahi moved the motion for the bill to be read the second time, Senator Adamu Alero had urged the Senate to step down amendment of the Electoral Act, raising a point of order made reference to the provision of the Rule 52 subsection 5 of the Standing Order of the Senate. And that just goes on and on. But I mean, the whole matter here is that the Nays kind of have it at this point and saying, you know what, this is not going to pass for a second reading at all. We are not going to consider this at all. Does this strike some chord for you? Does this also show that are we growing into the maturity state of our policy and also the democratic system that we are?
I don't think we're growing anywhere. You just politics of interest. This whole drama of the electoral bill, you know, that's not been passed, whatever, so far, it's all about this interest. You know, but it's good that the Senate for once at least acted independently. Which they do from time to time, you know? And they're doing this now because it did not affect them. If it affected them, they wouldn't pass it. But it's part of election politics anyway. But it's a good thing that you know, if you are in position, if you are, you know, not elected, you know, you shouldn't be a delegate now. It doesn't make sense that you are a member of the party elected, then you're a delegate. You know, of course, you know what will influence you. And this, I think this is good for once at least. You know, they did something that is not rubber stamped. You know.
Talking about not being rubber stamped, I'm not sure they even want people to even mention this when you mentioned the National Assembly or the Senate. I thought they are trying extra hard at that, but no, Nigeria's always good.
For what they've done something at least they should be proud of, you know? Because if you are, if you're appointed, I don't think you should get involved in this politics, this big kind. But if you want to get involved, resign from a position and then get involved, you know? Resign and let somebody come in. Because if you are, if it's not resigned, you still have a lot of influence, a lot of money to switch things around, you know, because of your positions and all that, you know?
But do you think you'll be seeing any resignation anytime soon?
I don't think any of them will resign. I don't think, but you never know with these things, you know? I don't think any of them will resign.
Depends on what the stake is.
Yeah.
For them.
I mean, it's eyes on the ball. If the ball is going to go close to the goalpost, you know what? I would rather just leave the bench and come into the field and play this ball.
I don't think this one now is worth it. It's worth the resignation. This one now.
Exactly.
You know, for now, all of them, this one's not worth it yet.
Well, not. I see where you're coming from about something, the bigger fish and all of that, but putting it in check. Yeah. I mean, we're getting to see certain things. Just yesterday, 2 days back yesterday, we were talking about the court sacking a governor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things are sort of like a motion to self-correct. I'm not sure how far this is going to go or what change it will bring, but at least that conversation intensified around the moving of people, politicians and the likes. There need to be some behavioral readjusting that needs to be done in our political space.
What they're doing is to just abuse everything because of, I think it has to do with indiscipline and lawlessness. Or maybe because they know that they can get out with it. You win an election here, then tomorrow you just defect to another party and you insist that everybody in your cabinet must okay, you can tell people that you appoint to defect, but people that are elected, you don't force them to defect.
We've seen also state assemblies and seen a lot of people also move
if your boss moves, you have to move, because if you don't move, you become the enemy. And that's why most of them move, not because they want to move. The case of Zamfara State, where the governor moved and the deputy governor said, okay, I'm comfortable here. I think they can work together, even though they're from the same party. They're working together different from party politics. They should allow that man to stay there until they stay on, and then you can leave. But the man, they blackmailed, they forced him out. You know, which is one thing that we see with our policy. The court need to come and do something about it and help them a little bit. Because this is even in their constitutions. It's not like they're not free to defect. The way and manner they defect and force people to defect is a complete totalitarianism, you know? Where you can just blackmail people and force them and if they don't follow you, you sack them. These are the issues, you know? So the case of Mahi, I think for now, let's see how it goes, you know. But I think he came out and was complaining about, he said they gave the money and all that. He was saying that
it was alleging. If you see the NBA,
they're tackling him now. But he was saying that the man must have been bribed. He wasn't alleging. He said the man was alleging. He said the man was bribed. That was why.
But it's bordering on allegation because there's no fact or substance to it.
It was alleging.
Apparently, a man who was still in a state of shock, how dare them?
But you don't just accuse the cop like that.
Sometimes the words come out before you process in the brain, and that's why you're getting MBA on his throat. That's very disrespectful.
Can the court do something about it? If they can, at least they should do something about it.
Well, did he say it?
That kind of behavior.
Did he say it in the court of law? I mean, it would have been contempt of court if it was around. His reaction.
I'm sure it wasn't even in the court because most of them don't go to these hearings. They're somewhere and their lawyers go there and take care.
And it's the careless talk. We get I'm sure they've been bribed. It's respectful to the entire judiciary, actually. But then, man has the right to question the judgment.
I'm sure if a poor man says that the judge has been bribed, something will happen differently because which
poor man has that?
Me and you, if we go to court after the judgment and say, the judge was bribed, something will happen differently. You know, I'm not sure it's legal.
If he was within the court premises, there are certain places where you can be contempt of court within that space.
Yeah.
But if a poor man sits in his house, the judge has been bribed, my brother, nobody will know. The only reason we know that he said this is because he's the one high up there.
Publicly?
Exactly.
It was public. The thing was public. It's headline news now.
Yeah.
And he accused the judge of taking bribe to
It's a strong accusation.
It's actually, a very strong
which
one.
You would have to substantiate.
As with the court again, not just the court again, the image of the judiciary again. They've been bribed. Anyway, I know that maybe I was angry because anytime judgment does not favor somebody in Nigeria here,
there's always that
drama just comes up, you know. I think so far this is good, you know. It shows independence of the court because you're the ruling party who bribed the judge, somebody else, you know. So I think let's see how it goes with I think it has appealed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how it goes. But this should be the deterrent to people who just wake up every morning and felt here and felt there. Because of personal reasons, not for any reason than personal interest and
Hope that can correct itself. All right, let's move on to another story. It's the round table. George Daniel Omoya is helping us wade through the big stories as a journalist with New Issue Magazine. And we've looked at one story. I don't know how soon anyone intends to travel to fly, but just to let you know, aside from the price going up, there'll be disruptions. A lot of the airlines back-to-back were putting out statements saying there will be disruptions of flight because of scarcity of aviation fuel.
Yeah.
And then this train picture is still trending as to whether fuel or diesel ran out. You know, the cable is reporting it. Could this be true?
I was about to tell you, the Oracle, that, I mean, in your power, I mean, you have gone to the highest level of transportation in Nigeria.
I don't understand your statement.
That's the highest level.
Because
she went straight to the flight. I mean, that's the highest level of transportation in this country. Before it comes to our own level, you know, but in our mid level, we have something called the train. And as we speak, people are completely halfway, either near Ibadan or still near Lagos. I mean, the train ran out of diesel, and people were there. The videos are all over the internet as we speak. So it's not just even the aviation fuel. People in the train boarded the train from Lagos to Ibadan. Somewhere in between because they ran out of diesel.
Lagos-Ibadan train on Thursday stopped abruptly after running out of diesel, according to Twitter user, his account, King Isaiah Obadori, who was reportedly on the train. The crew said the train stopped moving because it had exhausted diesel. The diesel finish. What a beautiful country, he tweeted. Well, that's his one account, and I know a lot of people have been reacting to it, showing videos and all of that, and wondering. Sometimes there are some stories you read, and your brain is refusing to accept that is the story, because it's difficult for me to accept that this guy's account is the true definition of what happened. I haven't seen a statement yet from the Nigerian Railway Corporation to explain what truly happened. Be it a mechanical, but if it's Kaduna Abuja, I know their vehicles, train.
They stop at least.
It stops every now and again, sometimes. But not frequently, not in recent time.
Okay.
Not in recent time. Sometimes the stop is that change where another train is coming and able to cross. Yeah. But not like a total breakdown. Yeah. I know some time back, it will break down if you take the last train. There's always the fear that you will spend hours out there. But diesel,
Maybe the leakage. So let's not conclude first.
That's what I'm saying. This,
because you are traveling, you need to make sure that you have enough diesel in your distance. I think there is
the
vehicles somewhere where you should have.
I want to believe that.
So they have it in the train because these are modern technologies, no?
Yeah.
You should have it there. So maybe there's a leakage somewhere or something happened somewhere. Maybe mechanical. We don't know yet. But this will let them issue a statement first before we conclude on this.
But thing, one statement that we have seen repeatedly seems like all the airlines decide to write the same statement. Just copy this one, change your airline.
Say, have these people written theirs? Go ahead, copy it and paste. Remove
because I was just saying it back to back. Putting out statement that there will be disruption of flight over aviation fuel scarcity. Yeah. And, you know, it just tells you how crunch time that we're in at the moment, pressed from every side. There's fuel scarcity.
Yeah.
Transport fee have gone up. Interstate, they've increased it a little.
Yeah, everything has gone up.
And then to fly, the money has even gone up over aviation fuel, how expensive it is. Now they're even throwing it in the mix that it might disrupt your flight.
I think the people that use flight sometimes should use car to say that they see how people. Some
why are you making it sound as if it's only elitist people that fly?
Yeah, some of us fly too. Some people use flight all their life, the elites.
Yeah.
So they don't know how it is to travel by road. Sometimes they should. This flight should be disrupted.
Travel by road from here to Lagos.
And see how it is. They don't travel by road sometimes. Even with their jeep. And see how the road is.
The state of the road.
I think sometimes it's a little bit good. But then this issue came in Nigeria. You know, this drama in this country is not news anymore. You know, it's what we were already used to. You know, before I was plane crash, you know, town of passenger plane will crash, within 5 years. And passenger came in and fixed this whole problem. A man-made problem. Plane crashing. And nobody cared. That, like, oh, cool, man. That, at least I'm lucky that God planned for me. For almost 5 years. So now, I think it has to do, maybe it has to do with this whole war in Ukraine and Russia, maybe.
But there's a lot that is tied to UK and Russia, what's going on. We're looking at the price of fuel globally.
Yeah,
and
it's rising.
The price is rising. Yeah. But it's good news and bad news for people like us. Yes, we would export some. It's high. But we're going to import refined one. So it means that we buy it higher also. So at the end of the day, I don't see us making out. We'll cancel out each other.
We don't have fair right now. What are they importing? That's the issue now. Look at positions here. Not fair. Well, they're selling by black market price.
Mm.
No, so I don't know why they're saying that they're importing and whatever. I don't know. This is,
I mean, to be honest, I mean,
that's when, you, it's going to get even more dicier.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, when the oracle was speaking, I can just sense the voices in my head, like someone who is listening, saying, like, oracle, don't mention that part, because, I mean, that's the truth. Other countries are going to be benefiting because the oil price is going up and they refine their own products. So our own is like, you know what, it has gone up. Okay, hooray, then we'll now have to use that money again to import the refined products. I mean, this is the time that you look at it economically and say, you know what, we should be chilling with the big boys now.
Mm-hmm.
That, oil price has gone up. We have this oil here. We can refine the oil here. But unfortunately, it has just gone up.
All this drama is because they want to remove subsidy. And this thing can be done. I believe it can be done, you know. If people believe that the monies you're making are being used to fix this country and fix their lives, schools are okay. People at least, we are human beings now. People agree, okay, let's see how we can fix these things, you know. But look at us, our strike, the roads are bad. Have you been to primary schools in local government now? I was doing one job recently for consulting job. I had to go to local government to check some projects.
Mm.
Do you know that there are most of the projects now, the schools now, if you see new schools now, new buildings and schools now, they're being built by the members of House of Rep and Senators. You know, the schools are all of them are in bad shape in local government. Local government does not exist again, some place in local government again. You know, do all these monies, where are they going to? These are the issues now. When we know that this money will come, and people will just put everything in your pocket.
Mm.
But if you see things on ground, and you say, oh, subsidy, and we see things that you're doing on ground, things are improving, then people will say, okay, fine. Okay, let's make our own sacrifice.
Mm.
But we don't see sacrifice. You don't see our politicians making sacrifice and their friends. Why should we sacrifice that much? These are the issues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing about this oil thing, money is going coming, it just bring this, give this bad news, you know, full the air of bad news so they can increase this any subsidy. I'm sure if they explain this thing to people and if they start fight corruption, then people believe that you're working for them and this thing will be easy for them to, you know, to tell them that, okay. We can make the sacrifice too.
Yeah.
The problem is that nobody believes them. That's the problem. Mm. And you can see that after Kim, all of us, we see them now. They really live their life, and this country is for them alone. That's the problem. It's not for us again.
Okay. I don't see them.
Without them here, they live for this place. Without them here, them in their country.
A it's all our country. Well, just so you know, Nigeria's oil production dropped in February to an average of 1.25 million barrels per day from 1.39 million the previous year. The Nigerian Upstream Petroleum Regulatory Commission disclosed this in the latest crude oil and condensate production data for February. The reports seen by the cable show that the drop represents 10% from the January production figure and the lowest since December, when production dropped from 1.1 million barrels per day. The figure also lower than the 1.8 million barrels per day production quota set by the OPEC. Since May 2020, Nigeria has been struggling between 1.4 million and 1.1 million barrels per day of oil output, causing huge drop in monthly allocation to the Federation account. And at the last meeting of the Federation account allocation committee, the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation Limited did not remit any money to the Federation account due to low production and provision for under recovery, that is subsidy. You know, that emotional stuff needs to come in to say we're not making money, we're not producing enough oil, and then if global price is going up, more money will be required to bring in refinery, so you have to pay. You know, at the end of the day, the thing is for Nigerians to just mentally prepare for a spike in the price of PMS. I think we're getting to the point where Nigerians will have to accept that we have to pay more for petrol.
Yes, I think we've gotten there since. They've told us this since.
Because this scarcity is going to stretch to the point where we accept
when
it.
When the price goes high, things will go high. They mentioned it. But they look at other people again. Well, people have to offer solutions. That why not have refineries here? Why not give other people to have refineries, modular refineries and all that, you know, so that when they get the fuels here, they can just do it here. Make it cheaper. I don't know of a country who doesn't have any country that produces oil, that has oil that's a refinery. It's just funny, you know. Countries like Venezuela, now the countries that the U.S. government are calling now, because they have the capacity to, you know, produce this, to do these things, you know. Why is our stuff working, you know? And they spend so much money on NMP, on refineries, so much money. They tell you that billions has gone here. People are still working there. People are working in the refineries, that they're being paid salaries, and all of them
are not generating.
They're not generating much, you know. So why do you keep them, why do you keep people working there? Or maybe they should just, like they said before, privatize everything, give it to people that can handle it. I'm sure people can handle this issue, you know.
We get very emotional when they bring up the issue of privatization.
Yeah,
it's always an intense debate.
The thing with government is that government should do, they're not in power, they can do the right thing for the people if they have the intentions to do it, you know. And they have to, the thing is that they have to explain to people why they're doing it. You can't just wake up one day and just start doing what you're doing. Explain to the people, tell them what they're doing. The people here have people that represent them, the National Assembly, can call them and tell them what they're doing exactly. The reason why Nigerians are not, I don't trust them, that Nigerians don't trust all of them. That's the problem here. We don't trust any of them at all. But the people that represent us, because most of them, the way they win these elections, it's not that people like them and voted for them. It's true. So most of them.
You like to generalize a lot. I mean, if you're looking at the number of votes they get, so you can't generalize.
Most of them is through violence, which you see every day, vote buying and all that. You know, people didn't vote for them. Some people don't even know them. People don't know them. If you do a search, you see. You know, people don't even know them. So they're just here. And they tell that they are representing themselves. Most of them are representing themselves. Maybe half of them. No matter, most of them now, 60%.
Where did you get your percentage from?
So these are the issues, you know. So if they can convince, that people that what we're doing for you is for your own good, and this will benefit you in the long run, then people will say, okay, go and do it for us, you know. Because people are not reasonable. Nigerians are not unreasonable, you know. But Nigerians are aware, and we make judgment from what we see. Kim, just go to the garage in a motor park and ask that guru about politics. They tell them their own views, they have their own views. And it's not too different from ours here, because we see it's what you see that you've been judging with, you know? So it's not too different from ours. These are the issues, lack of trust for people in government and whatever they do, you know? But this is the fact now that we have to, you know, sometimes it's something else to give, you know, on this issue. So.
All right, we'll see what gives at the end of the day, if it's your pocket that would be giving more money. For PMS per liter, that is. Call us up on 0700-951-0000. That's 0700-951-0000 to share your thoughts on the stories we've looked at. And strictly for the ladies, we'll make our WhatsApp line available for you also. If you're having any challenge, calling our 0700-951-0000 number will permit you to call us via WhatsApp. I'm talking about just female callers only for WhatsApp. So, let's go to the phone lines. Please, 1 minute tops, go straight to your point.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you, man.
I'm fine and well, my brother.
Edema.
Yes, good afternoon.
Well done. I greet our guest. Good afternoon, sir. My name is Comrade Asnoye Mech. I'm calling from Kubwa.
You're welcome. Let's talk.
Yes. Let me use this word. Honestly, Let me mind my way. What can you cut me off?
I will do the honors.
Yes, I know you will. You will. What I'm trying to say is that there's no need to kill about the bush. Believe me sincerely. This money.
Hello, comrade.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a headline this morning that marketers are even paying 700 naira per liter petroleum. Petrol. 700 naira per liter. And I, like I said before on this platform, before this government takes power, Nigerians will buy for 1,000 naira.
All right, Austin, thank you.
Let me finish now.
The time is up, actually. It's 1 minute. You have said, I think you have dropped your biggest point already. Thank you very much, Austin. It's 1 minute. Go straight to your point. Your name, your location, and shoot. Hello?
Hello, Kim.
Yes, you're welcome.
Hello, the billionaire.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
And our guest.
My name is...
I don't think that we should be held responsible. That is, we're not supposed to be the ones that should take the burden of paying high for petroleum in or for fuel in Nigeria. Because right from the word go, we have been... this government promised us before they came into power 2015 that they would build refineries. That is one of the reasons for which Nigerians voted again. Okay, stubbornly, they have refused to build refineries. Now look at what is happening. And let me just tell you, the war in Ukraine would have been an advantage for Nigeria to make a lot of money. As you know, we had working or functional refineries. Now you have refused to build refineries. You have refused to industrialize or develop our economy. Nigerians are suffering. So which punishment now will Buhari have for not listening to Nigerians and not keeping to his promise?
All right.
What is the punishment?
Thank you.
All right, please, when you call, just introduce yourself also. We'd need to know your name.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, our guest.
You're welcome.
My name is Salasi.
Go ahead, Salasi.
I want to talk about this well. You know, this government promised us that, I agree with the last part of that call. This government promised us that they will be building refinery, let's say in every two years. The question is that where are the refineries? And the other one that you have been promised, the four refineries that you have, what happened to them? When he came to power, he appointed himself as the Minister of Petroleum. But look at what we are passing through now. We are in river and soap is entering our eyes. And for the National Assembly, I have been saying kudos to Abaribe, kudos to the former deputy Senate president and Smart Adeyemi. I want to commend them. Somebody said that the executive can go to court. We are waiting for them for court. They should go to the court and let's see how the court will rule against this. Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
All right, thank you very much. To the next caller now. Hello.
Good afternoon, Kim.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, this is the complainer. My going to the National Assembly, and this time around, they do something, although it's sponsored by Abaribe, and I don't know. This is the only time they do small things, but if they can continue like this, Nigeria will have a little hope. Because why things are coming up like this, it's from them. It's from them because the way they were casting the tune of the victim, it's not something to write to my back. How can things be doing wrong? Look at this job, TSTMWS. I mean, the total Nigerians are suffering. Those other companies that they have, this food oil, how they were enjoying it. You can't tell me that because I had a fellow who had a police station while I was in the government. He told me that any time they increase fuel, even with 5 naira, the money they make, even this person who told me this year, he was suffering from so much inside the office because no one is offering like him.
All right.
Apart from me, it has been talking.
Thank you.
Because Nigerians are, they can't see somebody living fine and the other people suffering.
All
right. I had to let you go there so that we can accommodate others. It's still 1 minute on the round table, so you put your thoughts together in 59 seconds or 60 seconds. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
My name is KJ. Good afternoon, Kim, and our guest.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think good things are about to happen. The court has fined their direction. They are not giving judgment that everybody is applauding. The National Assembly too are waking up. I think they couldn't find the robber yesterday, talk less of stopping the pillars. So it's a good thing. Because if they have been doing this, if the court and National Assembly have been doing their work as it were, probably at least we wouldn't have found ourselves where we are now. But it's because they are always dancing to one direction at the expense of the country. For Fuero, the law let him take it to $1 million per liter. If he is there, he will help us to say he has the money.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Katie. Hafsat is saying, good afternoon. Diesel finish, white train is moving. This is really bad. I think for Hafsat, he can't understand it also. No, to top it up, no light. All right, then. Tell your guest a National Assembly that passed PIB and so many important bills should not be called rubber stamp. It's good the Senate threw the amendment of the electoral bill out. The judge on the Boeing state should be investigated. It's not new for train to break down anywhere in the world. They did not talk about a breakdown. They say ran out of diesel. The price of fuel in Nigeria is very cheap. Down here, it's difficult. On the news, you people get gas and run away from the station. Okay, I don't understand, Raymond.
What do you mean, get gas and run away?
All right, Musa from Gaines Village says the judgment that sacked the governor of Ebonyi State is funny and deserves interrogation because Atiku came to the APC from PDP in 2006, even when he was the sitting VP. The federal government and PDP took him to court, claiming that he took their mandate by the campaign to the AEC. But the Supreme Court passed a judgment in favor of Atiku because the Constitution allows the president, vice, deputy, governors, and the likes the right to decamp to any part of party of their choice except the legislators, who can only decamp when there is a crisis in their party. Rejecting the electoral amendment bill is a good one. I think this time around, both the rubber and the stamp were misplaced. Okay, Katie had already called, so let's move on. Mr. Godwin from Area 11 says a liter of diesel is 710 naira now. That is what make the train stop on the way. APC and their supporters accused GJ's PDP government of corruption, wastage, and siphoning when the price of crude was high and couldn't save for the rainy day. Okay, we would not accept name calling. Mr. Gordon, let's leave your comment at that. The rejection of section 82, this looks like a very long read, okay, not so long. 82 amendment of the already signed electoral law by the Senate is still on a bicycle. Well, the way the Senate president is ready to do what the president wants, anything can still happen. There's a comeback coming soon on this Section 82 amendment in the Senate. When it comes to the Senate, I'm tired of watching. I'm looking. Omai has two judgments that favored him. My concern now is that he's using the two judgments against this one that ruled against him. This public display of lawlessness shows that some of our public officers are supposed to remain in business, not in the business of leading people, though. Immunity should have condition attached to it so that governors and their deputies, president and vice president, will keep to the rules of being responsible leaders. I'm looking forward to seeing the way Zamfara state governor will be asked to leave office by the court. The court declared PDP as winner. The court declared that APC had no candidate. This movie will come out soon. Patrick from Niger State. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And George, you can come in at any point if you have an interjection to make.
Hello?
Yes,
good,
you're welcome.
Good afternoon, the great billionaire. King, well done. Mr. George, good afternoon to you. This is Adeomi calling. King, I hope you never hear from TMD and NRC, Grand Railway Corporation. Before tomorrow, you hear them that it is the pilot that fired. Maybe he wanted to hit himself. They will deny it. They will not allow you to say this to finish. You hear now somebody send message that is not new for a train to break down the in the bush. Is it a joint thing? Why is it that people who are in this government and those who are supporting, they always like everything negative?
They will give you an example of 9/11. They will give you an example of a country where people are crying. That the way we cry is bad. Are you surprised when the open addition has told you that it's not wrong for us to sleep in filling station? The iPhone will not fall. We are not surprised because they come to the power by force with anger. So you don't from them. If it is not to increase this, we increase everything. Let them increase this. I have feel that it is you and I, both including those who are killing themselves because of Buhari. We will make better for them to buy it. So let them increase it. Even the lies. Buhari has
said it
2 years ago.
Thank you very much. Let's hear another caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, last one. Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. And you?
Yeah, Madam King.
Yes, you're welcome.
Good afternoon. Yeah, afternoon, sir. I'm just today.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just go straight to your point, Chairman. We're out of time.
Yeah, thank you. This is Ujo, the future president.
Well, listening, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just a pity that the kind of political leader we have in this part of the world, they are the type that drag the country backward. Even when we have, you people have said it, we have put on here, yes, we are not refining in our country. What kind of excuse are they want to give to Nigeria? Even when the president, make himself Minister of Petroleum, believing that he's going to solve the problem of that sector. People know that he has worked quite well in that sector. Till today, nothing has happened. Nigeria is seriously suffering with everything we have in this country. It's just a pity. I don't know how long it will take our leaders. Because our leaders are not just sincere. If they are sincere, this issue of refinery is not a rocket science.
All right.
Because I begin to wonder what is our project that we cannot just fix this in once and for all.
Thank you so much.
Deliver us.
Thank you, Joe. And I think we can, okay, we can take a few more and then read messages and then give George some time to respond as we wrap up.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, my name is Josie.
Josie,
I'm calling from Maraba. Please, what I just want to find out is this. I heard that there is illegal refineries in the West, if that is in the South. Is it not proper for government to legalize that refineries where they have and let them continue giving us oil instead of going outside to import? The one they say is illegal. Let us legalize it and let us, if they cannot build, let the individuals who can refine oil for us refine oil for Nigeria. We want it. Thank you.
All right. Maybe we should just be encouraging more modular refineries and the ones who have been given the license to act on it. If we start to encourage people who are using bunkers to crack the fuel and all of that, we'll call for chaos because everybody will now go in. Yes. There's a lot of damage. Yeah.
To the environment. That's why sometimes you don't just encourage illegal.
Yeah. The governor was complaining about the activities, how he's causing more
so much
and environmental pollution.
It's very dangerous. So
yeah.
That's the reason why you don't encourage illegal refineries.
And how much can they actually produce if you're looking at real consumption level?
They can't produce it.
So it's I don't know if it's not a route to encourage at all.
But then, we won't encourage anything illegal. But it also goes to show that these things can work. So why can't we make it work? I mean, and that's more like the honest concern of some of these people who call and say, I mean, why can't we now make it legal? It's illegal. That's the starting point, and that is how it should be. But it means that we can do something. It can work. I mean, Majid has said on this platform, times without numbers, that, you know what? What's wrong with state owning refineries? What's wrong with River State owning its refinery? What's wrong with Bayelsa State owning its refinery? I mean, today, Rivers is complaining of suit from the product where they're getting from this illegal refinery. So it means it can work. So the state should look into investing in it. I mean, now we should be greeting each other well done that oil price is up there and we'll make more money for our country. But, I mean, it looks like the reverse is the case.
Well, Harry, Aurum, Olumibe from Apo says, hope you would read my message. I'm reading it. I align my views with your guest on the issues being discussed, but you pamper the issue to favor the federal government views when you're aware that citizens are suffering a lot in the country from the competence of government agencies like the NNPC and the Ministry of Petroleum. I don't understand.
I think he thinks we're a little too soft on government.
What do you want to bring? Bring out Koboko.
Yeah.
And the
government.
Here.
Yeah, wait.
Maybe we should borrow from our cousins in Wazobia.
Yes,
All right. It appears the media is assisting the government to prepare Nigerians for removal of oil subsidy. Please focus on building refineries, eh? If the situation persists, Nigerians may go the way of some West African countries, though. Dr. Fobako seems to think that us talking about this increase of oil is helping the agenda of the government.
I think anybody can read
the writing on the wall at this point in time.
I think they need to be refineries, even though the subsidy, last time we discussed here, they postponed till next year, till June next year, the subsidy issue.
Yeah, there was an extension.
Yeah, for 1 year.
But if you notice between then and now, what have we been going through? A crisis.
Even before, on a monumental level. Even before the Ukraine problem.
Yes.
We're already experiencing this first cast here and all that, you know. So I think this issue of refinery, they should go back here again. Dangote, I don't want to talk about Dangote because people are angry with Dangote.
Why? What? It's a businessman doing this.
Last time we brought Dangote here, people just calling
Oh, yeah, the last time you were on the show, Nigerians are getting very angry now.
Well,
so
I think he's doing something. Maybe he's a
businessman.
Maybe the partner of NPC, maybe, because they say they're partner with buy some shares, maybe the partner.
No, but George,
back then.
But the truth is, if
Nigerian
the
government invested a lot in Dangote, CBN.
Yeah, I think so.
We have a stick, technically.
Maybe Dangote will give us fuel now. And somehow, I don't know.
Dangote has the right to take his fuel to wherever he's taking it to. His private own. If he decides...
Because the federal government helps in the whole...
government is not
because
even...
They'll have a disagreement. Something
like family business where the family friends want to wreck business. They're the ones who never pay, but we are family.
I'm sure it would be a win-win situation for both.
Well, I want to believe that.
I don't want to believe that. Government is supposed to create an enabling environment for any business to thrive in its country. So, and that business person can decide to sell his product to anywhere in the world. I mean, Dangote can argue very well to tell government that I'm also an employer of labor. A lot of people will be employed to my job, but I can decide where my product goes to. The government should also do its own responsibility by having its own. It's privately owned. This guy is running his business. Should government create an enabling environment for him? Yes. Can government
assist
him?
Will it generate money for the country in terms of the taxes and the likes?
Yes.
But the thing is that I think people are calling from other countries are saying that, you buy fuel cheap in Nigeria here. If I look at the money people get here, salaries in Nigeria here, compared to the West or elsewhere, anywhere they are, find that people have been paid solely to you in Nigeria here. Money that cannot even buy you 2 bags of fries.
If you're looking at Raymond, mentioned it, he sends his message from Canada.
Yeah, you see?
You can't compare the wage and the earning in Canada to Nigeria.
Here, you know? So people are from this country came. If you go out, you see people, you pity them, you know? How much are they paying people? How much is dollar and the dollar? And we buy almost everything in dollar. You know, everything here is imported in this country here. So how much are they paying them in a month? if they're paying you like $150,000, you're a big person in Nigeria here, at least you're doing okay in Nigeria, $150,000. How much can that buy for you? You and your family, it's their family, friends and all that, you know. So the money people have been paid here is very small. And that's why people complain about these things, you know. Just life is harsh in this country, honestly, you know. So the government should really look at that again. Because if you're going to increase wages now for workers now, you have this fight over strike.
Minimum wage was increased, we've had increase in electricity, increase in fuel, increase in everything.
And the dollar keeps going up. You know, so it's difficult here. And I think the government should really step up. Honestly, they should step up. This government now, because this government is going now in the next 1 year, I don't think that they want to. I think that they're prepared to go now, this government now. Maybe Nigerians should now wake up now, get their voters card, listen to the campaign that we are campaigning, and try to vote. Even the people say, no, if you're voting, you have no power. If people have power to change some people, if they can come out and vote for people that they listen to, and not allow people to buy their votes and all that, at least they can put somebody reasonable there, somebody at least more reasonable than the other in power. You know, and things will change gradually.
I mean, sometimes you don't even know how to measure this reasonability.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of confidence imposed on the government of today in 2015 because of the seeming ineptitude
confidence
of the
from,
previous
confidence
government.
From, confidence from where? This is just propaganda. A lot of people that were just thought that, oh, this man, when he was... No, Nigeria thought that corruption was the problem of Nigeria before now. Poor people.
Corruption is still a problem.
Yeah, they thought that the corruption was the major problem of the country. That's the mentality. And people said, oh, they're selling money to corruption. And some people cashing on it to remove the other government from power. The issue of corruption, you know? A lot of people came out and said, corruption, once it's finished, then everything will just start progressing. People are singing, Masgudu. People that are corrupt, you run out from the country and all that, you know? And this government came in, and we realized that it's not just corruption that's the issue. It's lack of idea, lack of... when you have a business now, and you don't have an idea to how to run the business, you have a problem, you know? And when you have a business, even though people are corrupt in the business, if you have idea, you can still thrive again, you know? When you try to fight corruption a little bit again. Lack of idea is a very big problem. And the problem we have today with this government is the problem of complete lack of idea. People are just trying to make enough money for next election to put themselves in places, and they just left the governance, you know, and things just keep going the way it's going, and things just keep going backward, and that's why you see all this suffering in Nigeria today, you know. Mm-hmm. But let Nigerians come out and go and vote, go and be voters' card, you know. Don't do your best, your own small best. If everybody votes according to their conscience, things will change more, at least vote some better than the other. That's my own view on this thing. Mm-hmm. Because you're in a campaign, you go and hear them campaign. Even sometimes we don't hear them, you just because PDP power, APC power. Before you know you're voting, sometimes you don't hear what they're saying.
What they're saying, yeah.
You know, but at least you hear media people talk about them. People say, oh, I met him before. This guy's a great guy and all that, you know. You can
and then sometimes during the campaign, too many things are said by everyone, and then retractions start. And say, no, it was not us that said it was a Basilio's party members. It was not our covenant. It was not our promise. So it shows that we just need to employ a different strategy this time around. Let's quickly take one more call or two, and then we'll wrap this up. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
You're welcome, sir.
This is Ahmed from Gogolada.
Go ahead, you've got 1 minute.
You see, I disagree with your guest there. As you said that a lot of Chinese Nigerians, they don't believe in them. We believe in Baba Buhari. Huh. Whatever he says to us in the north, we agree with him. He has done a lot for this country. People are just sitting. Look at the empower, about 1.5 million people, youth, be employed. See the other things, Eko, Baba, Eko Group, about 10 million there. A lot of things, he has done a great thing in this country, but people because of their animosity, so they don't hate him. That's all the thing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 1 minute.
Hello?
1 minute. This gentleman that is talking, he's not even from the real lot. From his accent, he's from the middle belt here. Because he's Baggy or Igala or from Niger State, you know?
I don't know where he's from.
Yeah, I know from his accent. I'm from Benue State now. So I've been to the north this year more than 10 to 15 times. And people complain about it.
No, when you say you've been to the north, why will you singularize
This issue of national state, Kim, you and I know that it's just we have people that are from middle belt, that are from middle belt, you know, and these are people that are from Benue, Nigeria.
No, but you were not specific. Now.
I mean,
you said you've been to the north.
The core north, I've been there.
Uh-huh.
And people who support, when I go to the rural areas, people who support him, and you talk about Buhari and say, no, the man has failed us, you know. Everybody knows this now. So all this support, it's okay to support who you like, you're free to do that, but everybody knows that something is wrong right now with this government. If any people in the government say it now, that, oh, we don't do the very best, we'll try again. And that'll be the campaign. The campaign will be that, oh, we didn't do our utmost best because we're not in charge. It's Baba Buhari that's in charge, but we now will do our best. That'll be the campaign for 2023.
Well, good luck if they sell it. Hello?
Hello, Kim.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah, this is Umar Rossi. I'm calling from Abuja.
Go ahead, sir.
Now, I need to talk about this